life does things to irritate you. So we talked about that. So that would just get us a running start. So now, question 8 says, but what if she fails in her responsibility? So what if your wife fails in her responsibility?
She's probably following suit because we probably failed in ours.
That's true. So how are we to handle that with our wives?
Well, be sure that your idea of responsibility is in tune with what is biblical. I mean, if the responsibility is what you so want, then it's wrong.
Yeah, that's good. Anything else?
But you forgive her.
Huh?
You forgive her quickly if she fails in her responsibility.
So what's an example of a responsibility your wife may have that she could fail in? What would an example of something like that be? No thoughts.
Washing the clothes.
Yeah, it could be washing the clothes, right? It could be something around the house that she tends to do. So let's take that. Washing the clothes. She fails to do that. Like, we tend to catch up with the laundry on the weekend, okay? We get to Monday and I've got clothes that aren't. How should I respond, or how should you respond to that if that happens in your life?
You do the laundry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me do the laundry.
She never won't let me do it.
That's actually a good point, right? Maybe I should get out there when I see it's not being done, right?
Well, or ask how you can serve her to better suit the situation, because there could be a very good reason why. So evaluating the situation first before you make accusations would be really...
I wouldn't even make an accusation. State a fact.
There you go.
Laundry's not done. How can I help you?
Yeah. Mike.
Does this just happen once, or is this something that happens every week?
It would be a big difference. But
same question.
Yeah, same question. But I agree. We need to learn the situation, right? What's going on that day or however many weeks in a row, what's going on? So I need to be a learner of my wife at that point.
Be right? Careful with what's going on, because that sounds accusatory.
Mm-hmm. You think you know, ask.
Yeah. What is her view of the task? Right? We're talking about laundry, it could be other things. What's her view of that task? Does she see it as something that she should do? Maybe we didn't even think about that, right? Maybe we're seeing it as her responsibility and she's not even seeing it as something she should be doing.
Sign in.
And take a survey. Do much learning and offer to provide teammate help, not supervisor help. Your goal is to so love her that she wants to love you as you love her. Right? If she fails, let that be a thermometer that tells you of your need to increase your focus on loving her.
Read that again.
If she fails, let that be a thermometer that tells you of your need to increase your focus on loving her.
Every time she fails, that's a reminder that God wants you to love her some more.
All right. Number 9, you initiate needed conversation and she's not interested in talking about it. What do you do then? So you have an important topic you want to talk about, but she's not interested in talking about it. What do you do then?
Make an appointment.
I don't want to talk about it.
Doc's being your wife.
You don't have to talk, can you just listen?
So you're going to lecture?
Here, let me give you an example. She says her dad handled the family finances, and her mom knew nothing about it. So your wife feels like that's okay, and therefore she's allowing you to handle the finances, and she doesn't want to know anything about it. What hinders her interest in that? So how do you handle that situation?
Well, don't go in with accusations, ask questions, because maybe she feels intimidated by it because she's never done it before.
And so
it could be an honest, not malice then. She's not trying to, throw off that responsibility.
So back to being a learner of her, right? Learn what her lack of, why she has a lack of interest. What makes this unimportant to her? So it's back to asking questions in the right way, right? In a loving way, and trying to be a learner of her.
Sometimes, as husbands, though, we can be pretty impatient. We think something's needed.
Sometimes. Yeah, exactly right. In my household, it's probably a lot of times. But yeah.
Sometimes we do need to just give her a little bit of patience.
Absolutely, absolutely. She might be tired. Going back to what Larry said, schedule another time. What if she? She says, let's talk about it again in 5 years. Right? So ask her what makes it...
Wait a minute, you didn't answer that question.
Oh, yeah, I didn't answer that question. What if she says, let's talk about it again in 5 years?
Put it on the calendar.
Put it on the calendar. With a big smiley face next to it.
Yeah, I might forget in 5 years. What is the answer, Doc?
What makes 5 years so important?
Yeah.
How did you select that number? And help me understand what's going on in your thinking.
So it's back to we're still learning, right? We're still learning.
I think if you just keep that idea of ask questions to learn, you'll bail yourself out of a lot of problem and keep yourself out of a lot of problems. Don't teach, learn. May have to teach at times, but that's pretty rare.
So ask her what makes it important for you to put this off.
For five years,
right? What makes it so important for her to put this off? Learn from any answer she gives you. Even if you don't necessarily agree with her, right? Try to learn.
Especially if you don't disagree with, her.
Yes. Before you start any kind of a solution, well, that goes together. Learn from any answer she gives you before you start any kind of a solution. Right? That goes back to jumping to conclusions. Right? Learn first. Serving is like Jesus. Whatever she concludes about you is a result of your communication to her, both verbally and non-verbally. Anybody ever get in trouble on the non-verbally end? Right? You don't say it, but you show it. We have to be careful with that as well. I know I do. If you are going to be humble like Christ, you need to allow her to pelt you with the buckshot of how she sees you. You get that? If you're going to be humble like Christ, you will need to allow her to pelt you with the buckshot of how she sees you. What would be the opposite of that?
Not allowing her.
And so how what would that look like if we didn't allow it?
Blaming her?
Getting angry?
Bullying her?
Yeah, getting frustrated, not listening anymore, right? So we need to learn from that as well. The first step is not resolution of the issue, but learning her perspective. So the first step is not a resolution, but learning her perspective. She may not want to talk due to your response. Then you need to learn what she sees in your response. So continue to learn, even at that time. Do not become defensive and try to prove her wrong. This goes against the grain of the sin-cursed man. The natural response is to get defensive. Right? It is not that you automatically are wrong, but you need to learn what she sees and how you have communicated it. Right? You may not be wrong in your thinking, but are we seeing it from her perspective? Are we patient enough to learn what her perspective is? Or do we just go back to jumping to conclusions again, right, and get upset about that? This may be opposite of your intentions, but you need to learn what she sees that communicates the opposite of your intentions. That make sense? Her response may be a reflection of your response to something she thinks important, and you have minimized it.
Say that again, Phil.
Her response may be a reflection of your response to something she thinks important, and you have minimized it. Right? Does that make sense? Right, so her response is based on how you've responded to her. Any questions on that part or thoughts? Okay. Question 10. She may say something and you give no response, which irritates her.
She may what?
She may say something.
We'll say something.
To you. All right, so she may be talking to you and you don't give a response, which irritates her. What then?
Well, first you put your phone down.
Oh.
What?
You put your phone down.
Or the paper.
Yeah.
Or turn off the TV.
Oh, my goodness.
And you give her focus, right?
Then you need to apologize.
Did y'all hear that? I can't tell whether you did or didn't.
Yeah, they heard it.
Okay.
So when I coach youth basketball and I talk to these little kids, I make them look me in the eye when I'm teaching them something. Because if they're looking around or looking at the other gym, I know they're not listening. I know they're not focusing, right? In a sense, even though I don't necessarily take it that way, it's disrespecting me, right? So how does your wife feel if you're watching ESPN or looking at your phone or your tablet when she's trying to talk to you? I can tell you how mine feels, right? So that's the kind of thing we're talking about. So it goes back to learning, right? What kind of response would help her? Restate to her what you heard. Ask her if she desires some response from you. And maybe it was a situation where you didn't think, I don't know if this has happened to you, it's happened to me, where I didn't realize Judy was looking for a response. But my body language or whatever made her feel like I wasn't listening at all, right? So you might ask her if she desires some response from you, right? And ask her to restate what she said. Communicate your appreciation of her observations. Observations of you, right? Thank you for helping me to see that I'm not paying the proper attention of you. Would you like to would you like to comment for me? Let me make certain I understand what you are saying. So we're back to asking our questions, right? So again, in our response, how we're going to respond to that, and we're trying to learn what she's seeing in us that would irritate her at that time. All right. Question 11. Why and how yield to wife when she is doing something wrong? Does that make sense?
Not yet. Mm-hmm.
So yield is not a good word. So in other words, how and why to yield to her response when she is doing something wrong? You want to comment on that?
Read the question again. I'm trying to think if I understood it.
Why and how yield to your response when she is doing something wrong?
Yield to your response?
Yield to wife when she... I'm sorry, I read that wrong. How and why yield to wife when she is doing something wrong?
I'm not sure I like the word yield. I don't know why the guy put it in there.
I don't know.
Although that's a question.
That's what we said right below it. Yield is not a good word. But let me continue on and maybe this will help you. Learn from what she is doing. Discuss with her. Right? You are in the process of communicating that you love her and love her enough that she can trust you. You are building in her her trust of you. In asking questions, you need to make certain that you are a learner in learner mode and not in you must defend yourself mode. If it distresses her for you to ask, you need to learn about that. That make sense, Brian?
Well, I'm still wrestling with the question. Is this, and let me paraphrase it in my words. Is it saying how or why should we let our wife go ahead and do something wrong?
Yes.
Okay.
When we yield to them, yeah. That we're going to go ahead and let them do something wrong.
Okay.
To, quote unquote, let love cover it. Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
What do you mean by wrong?
That's what the sentence says.
I'm sorry.
That's what the question says.
You have to ask the guy who wrote it.
I know. What do you mean by wrong, Doc?
Well, I think...
I'm assuming by wrong, it's not sinful, and it's not something that's going to cause her harm.
I think you need to think of all those possibilities in the process of this question. And the question is, what do you do? The issue has come up, should I yield to my wife? You know, and I don't like the word yield, because it implies teammate aspect. It implies a control issue. And when she's doing something wrong, that's something to discuss and talk about and help her see that it's wrong from a biblical perspective as a spiritual leader, but not from a...
I told you so.
Yeah, good.
So let me throw out an example. If she is disciplining the children in a way that it's wrong.
Let me piggyback on that.
Maybe it's not something that, maybe it's outside a behavioral contract or something like that.
Or she's real ticked off. Go ahead.
Oh, you wrote the question, Doc.
I thought you were...
I was just trying to get an example out so that
Let me try a different question. How about if she's feeding the dog at the table, and that's against your rules, and she just likes to feed the dog, and she does that? How's that for a setup?
Man, that sounds like a real-life example, buddy.
So what the rest of you think about that? What'd you do with that?
Get a cat.
They do bad things to the carpet. No thanks.
Poison the dog?
Poison the dog.
What would you do about that?
Probably don't discuss at the moment, because if you're irritated in that moment, you have more opportunity to probably fail.
And I think you've brought some good insight. When you're irritated, it's probably not the best time to talk about those things.
So cutting the dog's head off and putting it in her bed?
not a good.
Well, that will work for you, but it won't work for anybody else.
Did you have another example?
I did. When he was talking about disciplining, I kind of thought to myself, well, you know, if my wife was disciplining a child differently than another child would be disciplined, finding favor with the child versus, you know, not, and the other child's observing it, you know, that one child's going to bring that up. You know, what I'm saying is we're treating them unfairly, you know.
I think you have to be careful with that word unfair when you treat children differently. Every child is a different person. So the treatment is going to be different. And that doesn't mean automatically that it's unfair.
Okay.
Your point's a good point. I think if she's disciplining outside of what you've agreed on, or you may need to go back and ask, how did you reach a conclusion to use that form of discipline on that child? But I'd be very careful to make sure that the discipline is not the same for every child. Mm-hmm. It's consistent with every child. But every child is a human being, and they're a different human being than any other human being.
No, that helps me more than you know.
I don't know if this is part of the question as well, but I know in my own experience there's been a number of times where I put my foot in my mouth and I thought my wife was about to do something wrong, only to realize that I was wrong and what she was doing was fine. And so I've found in cases where she's not about to commit a clear sin, it's sometimes best to yield or be patient and trust out of humility that she might actually have the right judgment.
How can you avoid the foot and mouth disease?
I don't know. Both my kids have it right now, man. Please tell me.
I'm talking about you. How can you help avoid foot and mouth disease? And that's the situation you just brought up.
Keep our mouth shut.
That doesn't avoid it.
Ask questions.
Learn. Ask questions. Don't hesitate to try to learn. If you guys will just get an idea of just learn what's going on with your wife, ask questions, and she understands you're doing it because you want to be her teammate, not because you want to criticize or hyper-spiritualize her, she'll be glad to talk. So if she's doing something that's different, ask questions about it. It's going to the problem with this is it requires a little thought, and we're too busy to stop and think on that issue.
Mm-hmm. So here's some questions you can ask yourself. Just because you think something is wrong, does it mean it actually is wrong?
That's a good point.
Is it definitely unbiblical, or is this an opinion of yours? That's a great question to ask in the process, right? Going back to what you were saying. Being the head does not make you infallible. You talk about the dog? Wrong must be measured by God's word, not by you. When it is unbiblical, ask her to fit her logic with what the Bible says. Did you get that? When it is unbiblical, ask her to fit her logic with what the Bible says.
Is there still a timing with that, though?
Probably.
The moment my wife does something wrong, she's probably going to realize that she's done something wrong, especially if it's unbiblical. Mm-hmm. And if I immediately jump on that, it's probably not going to be taken the way that it needs to be taken.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think there's ways to ask that without looking like, you know, look at me.
I'm spiritual and you're not?
Yeah. I think there's ways and timing how you ask those kind of questions, right?
If she realizes it, is it still our responsibility to address it?
Say that again.
He said, if she realizes it, is it our responsibility to address it?
How do you know she realizes it?
I guess I would add that, like, I think
Let me make sure we get this correct first, Kirk.
Okay.
If she realizes it, that's an important statement, but how do you know she realizes it?
You have to learn. Repent.
Okay, so you're saying if she realizes it, do you need to bring it up again? Is that what your question is?
Yeah.
Depends on whether she wants you to help her or not. What'd you say, Kirk?
Well, I was just going to say that, you know, I think a lot of times, you know, when it is I who sinned, you know, my wife rightly points out the issue is not so much that we are never going to sin, but that we are repentant. And I think that, you know, she typically, I mean, to say that she doesn't have an issue if I sin is wrong, but for lack of a better expression, you know, when I repent of that sin, you know, there's a tendency to be a little bit more understanding.
If it's a sin, repentance is the issue. Now, if she realizes it's a sin and repents, that takes care of it. If it's not a sin, then it's a matter of an opinion. And the question is, as Phyllis said earlier, you're not infallible. I was, but you're not.
So think of that question this way. Again, when it's unbiblical, ask her to fit logic with what the Bible says. So think of it this way. Help her defend her position biblically rather than you automatically criticizing what she said.
Get on her side.
Get on her side, right? And help her. So just kind of guide her.
Unless it's sinful.
Don't get on her side.
Yeah. No.
That question almost that you gave almost comes across as you're asking her for a chapter and verse. The way you said it there makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. But the way you phrased the question or the response, it's almost like give me a chapter and verse for the way you're thinking.
The way
she's thinking.
The way what I just said?
No, what you just said, the way you paraphrased it, mm-hmm. was right. Help her think through the logic of it biblically. But when you just read your statement, sounded like, give me a chapter and verse for why you're thinking what you're thinking.
And I think it's the attitude that we approach her.
Yeah, that's right.
We're not attacking her. We're not trying to look more spiritual.
It's a team.
We're walking through it together from Scripture. Right?
And I think you can phrase the question in such a way as, help me understand biblically how that is correct or how that fits biblically. And you make the kind of a generic term. It doesn't mean you have to have chapter and verse.
When she reaches a conclusion with which you differ, learn how she reached that conclusion. Use kind words and tone voices. In making her defend her position, you are trying to learn her reasoning process. One of the best ways to diffuse a criticism is to learn from it. How did you reach that conclusion? If it is something you do and is based on what you have done in the past, be a learner. Right? So if it's something you do that offends her, right, and it's based on something you've done in the past, better be a learner of that. This forces the critic to clearly define what is being seen. It also may give you information you would not otherwise get.
Do you want to make that so hard? When you're criticized to do that?
Pride.
True. What else? How does pride show itself?
I defend myself.
Yeah, see, it's the curse of sin means that when we're criticized, you got to defend that, man. You can't criticize me. And instead, we mean to say, I think it's good to make them defend their criticism by telling you how they reached that point and learn from it. Your best defense against criticism is learn from your critic.
So I take that criticism and learn changes that I need to make. And I told you guys, I don't know, 3 weeks ago or something, I asked my wife one of those questions, right? And I thought, I asked her the one I thought I was really doing well on. Found out maybe I wasn't doing as well as I thought. And I can take it one of two ways, right? Defensively, or learn from it and try to do better, right?
And I think you bring up two good points, Phil. Two good contrasts. There's defend yourself or learn. And if you don't learn, what are you going to be doing?
It will help you learn some changes you need to make. Being a learner communicates humility. So it will communicate the humility to your wife by being a learner. Communicate your humility, that you're willing to learn, right? And showing your wife, hey, I'm messed up and I'm willing to learn from this, right? You lead because you know her, you understand her. Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve. Rather than assert authority, he served. All right. Question 12. What if your wife's priorities are different than yours? What then?
Our first response should be to reevaluate our priorities and see why they don't match with our wives before we go to them.
Before we go to them and do what?
And start to question their priorities. Oh. Reevaluate ours, see if we've made a mistake. Chances are we probably did.
So how do we, what's a good way to so our priorities are different. What's a good way to look at our priorities? From what perspective? That's right. Try to learn from her perspective, right?
We shouldn't just, automatically write off her priorities and thinking, oh, that doesn't make any sense. Then we should take a humble approach and learn.
Yeah.
And ask her and try to learn, find out from her perspective why it's so important for her.
Yes. That's right. Learn about her priorities and what makes them valuable to her. And that might readjust our thinking about our priorities, right?
I would also look at my priorities and see how they line up biblically.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I'm the one that's in sin at that moment.
And discussing my priorities with my wife is probably the best understanding, because I might not see what I'm putting as a priority, but she can see it clear as day. I might be putting something as a high priority, but that's just because I'm busy and I'm putting more attention to it.
Yes.
You remember,
I'm not thinking that.
You remember we discussed earlier the question, if you're asked what are your priorities, what would you say? And we gave a typical man's answer, Christian man's answer, but you ask your wife, what do you see are my priorities? That's revelational. And even ask her, what do you see, not what do I think, what do you see are my priorities?
Gloves are off, baby, go ahead.
What's that?
I said gloves are off, baby, go ahead. Tell me the truth.
What do you ask that question just in context to? Because I think that could be sort of, that's kind of a wide question. I could see asking that.
It's a what?
It's sort of a wide question. I could see your wife saying, like, well, in what? What are your priorities in?
Well, I think all of these questions will grow out of situations you're living in. And I think it's a matter of the context of the discussion prior to that. Because you're right, it could go anywhere, but I still think it doesn't hurt to ask that question. And if she says, priorities in what? You say, you name it. Let it go wide. Be ready.
Well, and even in good things, right? Take ministry. I recently asked my wife, am I getting, to get her perspective, right? Am I getting my, because I'm teaching on this, and teaching on doing these different things in ministry, I got a job, I got a wife, and all these things, am I getting those out of whack? Right? And so I went to her and just asked her, right now with my schedule, she knows my schedule, she knows what nights I'm home, like I was out at Restoration last night, she knows that. Am I out of whack? I want her perspective of that, right? Because I may not see it. I'm doing all these things, and it's a great thing, you know, and there's nothing wrong with the things I'm doing, but am I whacked in the wrong order or not? So even asking her just to see, am I still, from your perspective, does it look like I have, or have I elevated this above you? Have I elevated this above my order of responsibilities, right? So.
And in whatever she answers, you can learn from it.
Yes.
You think more of your golf game than you think of me. Or
I
you
tried to leave golf out of this.
Why do you think I put it in?
if that's the indicator, then my golf game shows that I love my wife very much.
Not necessarily. Don't let your score deceive you. Don't let your score make you spiritual.
Learn about her priorities and what makes them valuable to her. This helps you learn what motivates her. All right? What motivates your wife? Her priorities are more important than yours. Philippians 2, 3, and 4. Learn that through that. We're good at Philippians 2, 3, and 4. Know the differences between priorities and preferences. This goes back to what you were saying earlier. Priorities should be based on biblical principles, should be higher value than preferences. Preference is what I want to get done. Priority is what needs to be done. So I'm trying to remember your question earlier, but if it's a preference, what was the question you asked earlier on the priority thing?
I didn't have a question. I just made a statement that I would, you know, when looking at her priorities versus mine, before questioning any motive of hers, I need to reflect upon myself and are my priorities lining up biblically.
Yeah, so if it's a preference and neither is wrong, but they're different, what do we do then?
Defer to hers.
And I think even with checking biblically, we need to get her evaluation of what you consider biblical. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You check your priorities and see if they're biblical, but before you finally conclude they're biblical, run them by your wife.
Yeah, we don't want to get our priorities and preferences out of whack, right? Elevate our preferences to priorities. We got to go against that as well. All right. Priority is, well, I read that. Challenge your preferences. Hold on. Challenge why your preferences is so important to you. So that's to ourselves, right? So we're challenging, we're examining our preferences and trying to, why are these preferences so important to me? Phrase in wedding ceremony. I may put this in Dan and Miriam's. I'll see. I'll ask him.
I don't think you want it in there. That's not the purpose of that phrase.
Yeah, right. I take you to be my lawful wedded wife, and your goal is to serve me all your life. That is the way many couples function, since the arguments arise because the other was not doing what was desired. Learn your wife to enable you to minister to her better. Actions speak louder than words. You inform her you will work on it.
And then do so.
So, 1 year for our anniversary, I had an area that I was working hard to grow in as a husband to my wife. And so, now, I didn't, this wasn't the only thing I gave her, right? But I did write her a letter and kind of did that, that, honey, I'm working on this, it's a long letter, but I'm working on this, and this is how I'm working on it. And so we can go to our wives and say, hey, we are working on this, and help us to do that, right?
And even ask, do you see me working on it?
Well, that's a good question. You see that change in my life? Then come up with a plan and submit it to her. Submit that plan to her. Be certain to follow it. All right. Any questions on that? Question 13. Your wife complains that she hears you ask forgiveness and she gives it, but nothing changes. She gives it, but nothing changes. So you ask forgiveness, she grants you forgiveness, but still nothing in your life changes, right? Now what?
That goes back to repentance, correct? Because you forgiveness is one part of it, but repentance is the change.
Yeah. But I think this question is, so she grants it, but she's seeing that I haven't changed. So now what do I need to do? So apparently it's a pattern in my life, right? It's a pattern in my life. So now what do I need to do to change that? If in asking you are only seeking to remove your unpleasant feelings with no responsibility for making certain it does not happen again, you are missing the goal. Does that make sense? So I got to be making those changes. Repeated requests for forgiveness without any plan for change is making a mockery of forgiveness. So when you ask forgiveness and she gives it, follow with the plan to change the behavior and seek her evaluation of your plan. Right? How am I going to make these changes in my life? If she refuses to forgive due to this happening, make your plan to change, present it to her, and then again seek her forgiveness. So what's my plan for growing and changing to be a better husband to my wife? That would glorify God, right? Any questions on that? Moving right along.
Bill, I think that if that's a habit in your life, you erode and you forfeit the opportunity to build trust.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Very good point. Yeah. My wife wants me to read the Bible with her in the evening. And you can fill in the gap with whatever right here, but I'll read this one to you. But I need to prepare my clothes so that they are the way I need them for work to be the next morning. I need to prepare them my way. What is the best way to handle this?
Who wrote this question?
What makes your way more important than hers?
A lot of these questions were asked. They're not my life.
So I think it's thinking through that. What makes it, am I willing, do I need it? And you can put fudge in whatever you want, right? Whatever thing you have, you like done a certain way. That's really what we're talking about. And if it's not done that way, right? How are you going to react to that?
I think the other issue is that there's a request of hers on top of it.
Did I miss that part?
My wife wants me to read the Bible to her.
My wife, that's right. It was a request for, there you go. You had other plans. Then what?
She makes a request and you have other plans.
Yeah. Then what? change of plans. Mike?
I see a lot of I's and Y's in that phrase.
There is a lot in there.
What'd you say, Mike?
Yeah, I see a lot of I and my words in there.
That's a good point.
What I want.
Good point.
Not what you want.
So ask questions like, what is her view of that situation, right? What does her way differ from yours? What is her view of the differences? Which is your priority? Minister to your wife, minister at work in this situation. But fill in the gap. The thing, you want to watch the ball game, your wife want to watch the Hallmark Channel. Right? What do you do?
You have a second TV?
What'd he say?
Get a second TV.
Who's playing?
Who's playing? Sometimes you might hit that record button and go watch it with your wife, even though it's a Hallmark Channel movie.
It's a good point.
It is, right? Am I loving my wife to go spend that time doing something with her that she loves to do? And we all have the right to buy one, I don't mean that, but I'm just trying to think of ideas, things that might pop up in your life. If you do all those things, it sounds like your life will be completely busy with ministering to your wife.
Not everything has an eternal perspective to it. This question has an eternal perspective to it. So I think
yes. It's
a simple matter of, you know, what's priority for it? What's going to matter in eternity?
That's a great point, for sure.
Read that question again, that statement again.
If you do all those things, it sounds like your life will be completely busy with ministering to your wife.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was still responding to 14.
Oh, for 14.
I thought you were still...
No, go ahead. But
no, I missed it. I was still responding to 14. Yeah. I was talking about the eternal perspective. She wants to read the Bible. And that has eternal implications to it. Me making sure the docs close are in order.
I think your answer worked great for 15 as well.
Of course.
Right?
Now read the question again.
If you do all those things, it sounds like your life will be completely busy with ministering to your wife. So the idea is, oh my gosh, I don't want to do that. That's my life, right? That's my life. But the most important thing, I like to do all these things over here, right? But... Is that a bummer?
Christ gave his life for the church.
What?
So let the dog eat off the table. No, I'm just kidding.
It's a little preventative maintenance to this thing.
There's a difference between being completely busy and being completely purposeful. I can be busy and not be purposeful.
I think the question misses the point. If a guy says that, he misses the point of what we're trying to do with this.
Yeah.
It's not a matter of your wife controls everything, controls your life. She has a big chunk of your life, and a lot bigger chunk than most of us realize. And ministry to her is a huge ministry because Jesus said it. But I think to conclude that means all I'm going to do is minister to my wife, I think that's degrading the principles of what we're trying to talk about.
Following the biblical principles we have examined in this study, how would that be a bad thing? Just ministering to your wife, right? But we need to find balance of putting this into practice. Outside of salvation, she is the most important gift you will ever receive. Outside of salvation, she is the most important gift you will ever receive. If that is not the way you view your wife, what will help you change your view? that's not the way you view your life goal. I hope you change your view. Remember that ministering to your wife is ministering to Christ. Question 16, how to utilize her strengths. Me as president, her comptroller, a business-like situation, right? No, it's a team. It's a team. As she pays bills, I help. Sort them as she desires.
What Bill is what Phil is quoting is the way my wife and I did. I was a president of the company, she's a comptroller, and she took care of all the finances. And in retrospect, I realized that was terribly wrong. I should have been working alongside her, learning how she handled the finances, helping her with the finances. And you got something else there about?
Yeah. The next question is, what is the difference between delegate and dump?
Yeah. What's the difference?
Between what?
Delegate and dump. In other words, I'm going to delegate something, or I'm going to just dump it on her, right?
If you delegate it, you're going to follow back up on it. If you dump it, you don't care what happens.
And delegate, you're involved with it, too. Mm-hmm. And that's where I failed my wife. And I didn't realize that till her dementia showed up, and all of a sudden I'm saying, oh my goodness, how I failed her. I should have been her teammate. I could have still been president if that was necessary, but I used to say, I'm president, she comptroller. And we made all decisions together, so I thought. But there were a lot of times where I think she didn't think that was the case. So I should have been learning from her how she did what she did, and I've been a student of hers in the process, so that when her mind could no longer function, I was not utterly lost at sea.
So in the latter, the dumping, I'm not involved.
Yeah.
Right? I'm just giving it to her. In the delegate, I'm still a part of the team. I think that's the idea. How can I help make the task easier and her still lead it? How can I help make the task easier and her still lead it? Mike.
I think it's extremely important that we work together. So what happens if we become incapable of making good decisions and they don't know what to do?
Mm-hmm.
And we ought to be working together so that they can pick up the ball and keep it moving. Sometimes we think I'll be here around forever. It's not a big deal, but I think it really is if we don't think hard enough.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Equipping our wives to continue on with the family.
That's a great point. Emphasize team, plan with her, schedule your work, her work, family events, etc. Ask her input about issues. Okay, so it's a bottom line. It's a team effort. We're going to do these things together. One may take the bigger lead, but we're going to do them together. 17. It seems like every time you sit down to read the paper, she wants to talk. It never happens, does it? What should you do about that?
Gets the paper anymore, huh?
Yeah, who gets the paper? We need to probably every time you sit down and look at the computer or your phone, she wants to talk, right? What should you do about that? We kind of covered that a little bit earlier, but what should you do about that?
I need to make time to talk to my wife.
Yeah. Put down the paper or the phone or the computer or the clicker, right? I think that's the answer, right? A sovereign God is doing this A sovereign God is doing this rather than your wife. Does that make sense?
Not yet.
So a sovereign God is allowing your wife to talk to you in times that you want to be reading the paper, looking at your phone, watching TV. A sovereign God is allowing your wife to want to talk to you at that time.
I think the point is to recognize that the times where your wife wants your time may not be convenient to you, but you got to see God in charge of the whole works. God's allowed your wife or stimulated your wife to get your attention at a time when it's not convenient for you to help you learn to love her.
So she is an instrument of God to help you to grow in Christ-like love. Does that help with that? So God's using her to help you to grow in your Christ-like love to her. So what can you learn about you and her in this moment? Right? What do we learn about ourselves? What are we learning about our wife in this moment? How often does she see you sit down without the TV, cell phone, or some other project? Probably not. In other words, probably not too often. You just sit down and there's nothing going on, right? In my life, I'm picking up something, I'm looking at something, I'm clicking on the TV, you know, something, right? I'm reading something. There's never just, I just sit down and beds, right? And so there's always something going on. I think that's the idea. She's not seeing that probably in you. How often does she have the opportunity to actually talk to you about her concerns? And remember, I think it was last week I said that I made it a rule that when we go to a restaurant, my cell phone always stays in the car. I learned that several years ago, and 4 or 5 years ago, I guess, and just have stuck with that. I don't ask my wife to leave hers in the car, but I want her to know I'm giving you my full attention. When this happens, what does God want from you? So, this happens. You're busy doing something. Your wife wants to talk. What does God want from you?
I mean, compare it to the church going to Christ to talk, you know? I mean, mm-hmm. I look at that aspect. I mean, I don't think Christ is going to turn on ESPN.
No.
In a matter of speaking.
Right.
He's going to put all things aside for that one important person.
Give her your complete attention, not distracted by other things. Value her more than self. This is a huge change from natural sin-cursed view of life, which is all about me. Okay. I'm good on time over there. Good. What about some things in life you like to do, your hobbies, you know, whatever, golf, whatever, right? And want to do and build trust in your wife may not leave time to do. Does that make sense? So you got these things you enjoy doing. They're not bad things, right? There's nothing bad about them. But building trust in your wife may not leave time to do those things.
Priority over preference.
Yeah, if your ministry is your wife, she's your priority, right?
Question has been asked, do I have to give up my hobbies? Well, it just depends.
Yeah.
I can't say yes automatically, can't say no automatically. It's a matter of how does that fit with your ministry to your wife.
How did that work with an airplane?
It shouldn't have been there. The airplane took more importance than her. Are you asking me?
Yes, I'm asking you.
Answering.
I don't know. Anybody else in here on the airplane? Not me either. Mike did? You on the airplane, Mike?
Yeah, I took too much time with the airplane. Should have spent more time with the family. Nothing wrong with the airplane, but it's just too much.
I asked that question because he's told me about that before.
This should go to work with that.
I can't hear you.
I wasn't going to mention my boat. I mean, you don't have to go that far.
Golf clubs can work the same way.
Oh.
Hate to admit that, but they can. Change your hobby to minister to your wife. It is deer season and you need the meat, right? You need the meat on the table. But she wants you to help her with birthday gifts for the children. What are you going to do?
My wife put some camo on.
Yeah, she's going to put some camo on. I don't think that's the issue.
Unless she's willing. I mean, she's willing.
That was not the question.
I mean, do you actually need the meat, or?
No, yeah, exactly right.
All right.
I don't think anybody actually needs the meat. 19. What are you to do if she seems to deliberately resist you in your attempt to develop trust in you? That makes sense? What do you do? What you to do if she seems to deliberately resist you in your attempt to develop trust in you?
Don't let that be a reason to stop.
Yeah, don't let that be a reason to stop. When Doc and I first, when we were teaching that Tuesday night addiction group and how this evolved out of that, that was just the issue, right? And these guys were striving to grow and change, but their wives were very reluctant to trust them again. So you take that issue, what do they need to keep doing? Exactly what Brian said.
If she doesn't change, it's God telling you, keep it up, buddy, you're not there yet.
Yeah, good point. Is God in charge in that moment? Yes. Could he have prevented her from this response? He could have. Why didn't he? If that's the case, why could be the answer to that question? Why didn't you? I think that goes back to what Doc just said, right? You're not as far along as you need to be yet. Keep growing. Let this be another thermometer that tells you of your need to increase your focus on loving her. So.
What are we really looking for? When we want to see that trust develop, it's almost gratification. Like, hey, I got it. I got a point. I did it. I got there.
Right.
I know I've tried to look at that. Like, hey, will you trust me yet? Do you give me a little bit yet? Huh?
You look for something to say, hey, I'm doing a great job.
Yeah, right? I'm going to pat myself on the back.
You're going to throw out your arm, patting yourself on the back. All right. If she is demonstrating a reluctance, did I read that one?
No.
If she is demonstrating reluctance to trust you, what does that say about your track record? Right? It might say that you just need to keep going. You need to keep improving. All right. So here's what, I want to read this. And this, actually Doc wrote this. I talked to him today about this. I'm hoping this will help him kind of remember this. I just thought this was a good statement. And then I'll let Doc see if he can recall this. If you had asked me if I was willing to be that sacrificial for Leona, I would have probably have told you I was, but then I didn't want, but then I did what I wanted. So if you had asked me if I was willing to be that sacrificial for Leona, I would probably have told you I was, but then I did what I wanted. And when I read that, he's thinking if he wants to add to that, but I thought, how many of us do that, right? We think we're doing a great job, and yet we still run to these things that we want to do. You have anything you want to add to that?
No.
Keep going?
Yeah.
Okay. How about this one? Then he wrote, however, I never thought of it as a reflection of my relationship with Christ. That one struck me as well. So what's your thoughts on those two statements?
Is that all the statement or is there more?
That was all the statement.
Okay.
Any thoughts on that?
Can you read the second one again?
Yes. However, I never thought of that as a reflection of my relationship with Christ. In other words, you go back to the original...
Read them all together.
Yeah.
You put a gap in there and it confuses.
If you had asked me if I was willing to be that sacrificial for Leone, I would have probably have told you I was, but then I did what I wanted. However, I never thought of that as a reflection of my relationship with Christ.
So you're wrong.
He didn't put it together, basically what he said. He didn't put it together. Walking with Christ, he didn't put it together with ministering, putting his wife first.
Yes, absolutely not. Ryan.
Doc, correct me if I have a wrong impression here, but I'm trying to be a learner. When I came to this class, I had heard bits and pieces of your testimony, Doc. And my burning question was, well, what would you have not done in order to love your wife more? And what I've gained over the last 6 weeks is it's not that you would have necessarily changed any of the effective things that you've done in your life for God. It's that you would have taken the data that God was already giving you and processed it to its fullest extent to love your wife.
I think your first part was what would I have not done. There's a lot of things that I can look back and see. I should have spent more time with the family, with my wife and my children than those things. There's a lot of things that I thought were important that really in the total plan of God were not that important. And I look back and say, oh my, I wish I'd have spent that time with a wife and family. And so when you say not done, that's a good point. Does that answer your comment?
Yeah, sort of. I mean, and I have a personal testimony with Doc. I went to him one time and said, man, I got this guy that I really need some help with. Would you counsel him for me? And I'd set him with you. And he said, no. But I'll counsel you to counsel him. So, I mean, it's just a reflection of priority there that I thought was very, very helpful.
And I think there's so many things to do. It's so easy to get busy with doing. I was doing a lot of good things. I was not doing sinful things. I was doing good things. But there's way too many of them.
And so how do you prioritize that, Doc?
Well, I think it's a matter of looking at what are the priorities. And some of these things were good things. Like the airplane. I wanted to fly. Did I need to fly? No, I didn't. And in retrospect, I look back and say, that's something that I should have really looked at. And I wasn't prioritizing my life like I should have been. And my wife never complained about the flying as far as that's concerned. But I look back and see the time I spent flying and studying and all that was very interesting and trying to take care of the airplane and all that stuff. But it was time I should have, now I wish I'd have spent with her and the children. And there's a lot of other things. I got a number of other things that I spent a lot of time doing. I spent a huge amount of time building a library. You know where a library is now? I got a few books in my house now, in my apartment now, but I can't read one of them. I spent a lot of time working on my files, saving materials so when I retired I could write. Well, how much writing can I do now when I can't even see my computer? And you can say, well, you didn't know that you would be having this kind of problem. That's exactly right. But I should have looked at my priorities and saying, okay, now what's the best use of my time now, biblically, and honoring God, the responsibilities I have, and then say, okay, now I've got these things planned for future life. What if God doesn't let me do that? And I think people don't ask those kind of questions. What if God allows me to have a stroke and I can't function with one half of my body? Or what if God allows me to go blind and I can't see? You know, what will I do then? And I don't think we think broadly enough. We think I'll do this And I had all my plans laid. I've said more than once recently, what's happening now is not the way I plan to spend the end of my life. But that was not God's plan. And God's plan is something you can't fight. I can't reverse God's plan, no matter how I try. So I have to submit to it and recognize, okay, all those things I did, and when they were taken away from me rather quickly, I was a bit resentful of it, but now I see it was part of God's divine plan, the providential plan for my benefit, and I should have taken a longer, harder look at senior life and say, okay, what can I really do? I think we don't look at what we're doing through the grid of, is this really God's priority or is this my priority? Is this biblical? Is it going to help me meet my responsibilities with my wife and family? Do I need to do more time with loving my wife or these other things? And there's a number of things that I did that I shouldn't have done. Some things I did with my wife's encouragement. And that was okay. Does that answer the question?
Yeah, well, thank you.
It sounds like, Doc, that these things that maybe you had in mind that were going to be what you wanted to do or what you thought were what God's plan was for you, this new will gave you a sense of perspective. That, hey, maybe those aren't exactly what you need.
Today, yeah. But I've often thought, well, how would I have done that differently? What should I have done differently back in those days? And I think I needed to take a harder look at those things through a bigger grid. I had too narrow a grid, and the grid was my perspective. Then I needed to take a grid that says, okay, what are the possibilities that God can do, and how can I best minister? Do I really need all this stuff? I bought a book recently that I was, before my vision went bad, and I'd been wanting to read it. It's in my library, it'll never get read, unless I get something to read it for me. But, you know, I think reading is fine, but I think we just have to say, I don't need to have all this. And I didn't need to have all of it. And I didn't know that till when it was taken away from me. And I think it's difficult for me to say how I could have evaluated my life back in those days to have prevented what did happen. As far as ministry to my wife and kids, I think the big problem is they weren't as important as they should have been.
Okay, we just have 5 minutes left. Did you have anything else you wanted to add?
Any questions anybody has?
Yes.
Through those questions we just went through, for you know, the biggest things that I came away with is the biggest things are priority. You know, if we have a love, true, you know, great love for God, that's going to help us love our wives better, and humility. You know, you can't love your wife well if you don't have love for God, you don't have humility. So my question is, how, I'm just curious from you guys, from you gentlemen, who have had your hand at the plow for a while, especially Doc, you know, just thoughts on how do we cultivate more love for God, to have a better priority for God, you know, more love for God and more humility in our lives, when it's so easy for us to do it just for the sake of spirituality, just to make ourselves look more spiritual, or to just do it as a checklist item, you know, as a thing. But, you know, we want to really do those things for God. You know, and I just know my flesh, I'm so sinful, like I can totally do it for the wrong reasons. And I just want to know from your wisdom, like, what wisdom do you have for that?
Well, I think to recognize you do it for the wrong reason doesn't mean you should stop it. Look and evaluate it and ask God to forgive you for doing it for the wrong reason and work on changing it. I think it's still a matter of biblical priorities. I think I'm maybe missing part of your question, but it's not, let me say this. I think part of the key for our life as believers is daily intake of the scripture memorization, prayer, and prayer is the kind of thing that, you know, You can talk all kinds of ways about praying, and there's no particular way to pray, but make sure you're praying every day, make sure you're reading the Bible every day, you're memorizing scripture every day, you're doing loving deeds for your wife and children every day. And I think to me, the key in all this is just fulfilling the basics of Christian life. Is that getting to your question?
Yeah, I think that what you mentioned, don't stop it if you recognize you have bad motive. It's asking forgiveness and keep moving.
Yeah, don't stop something if your motives are wrong. Change your motives. If it's something biblical. Just for your information, in 2 weeks, it'll be 1 year since my wife went to be with the Lord. So, I'm sitting here struggling a little bit.
I also think, for me, I mean, I agree with praying. I make sure I pray for my wife every day.
Yep.
And I have a list of things. And what I've tried to do, I listed out several things, and I try to pray, like I'll pray for this thing, and I'll spend a little more time on it. On Tuesday, I'll pray for this, and I'll spend a little more time on that particular, you know what I'm saying? So I don't just hit the list every day. I try to pray for my wife every day. And the other thing is, when I come home, or she comes home in the evening, because I have an office in the house, sometimes I work on it there, I can make myself think about what is my priority. In other words, it just doesn't come. My natural thing is I want to go do whatever, right? Or I want to sit down and relax. I want to do something that I enjoy. I've worked all day, right? So I got to think to myself, no, what is my priority? What does my wife want? What does she need? What does she need me to do? Right? And so I don't think we just naturally do these things. And so I try to spend time making sure I'm thinking about that when we come home at the end of the day. Right? Before I go off on doing what I enjoy or what I want to do, I'm making sure that I'm thinking about my wife and what she needs me to do for her. And maybe it's just sitting and talking, right?
I think you've brought a point here. What we're talking about is not natural. What we're talking about is you're working biblically against the natural so you can be biblical rather than natural.
I do want to read, and it's 8:00, but I want to hit on this, but I do want to read something here. Remember to pray and think about Philippians 2:13, for it is God who works it in you both to will and do for his good pleasure. Ministering to our wives in this way is not giving up, but moving ahead. Unless we sin, God doesn't downgrade your ministry. Thus, any change is an upgrade. Whatever your reason for marrying your wife, she is now your first ministry. Your love communicates the gospel, the message of Christ's love. What changes do you need to make to develop your wife's trust in you and to live with her in an understanding way? All right, it's 8:01.
Go home and give your wife a big hug.
Who would just love to pray and end this? Sorry, Don, I didn't get to your question. I didn't see it, buddy. But maybe we can talk about that afterwards. Thank you.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this opportunity. Lord, I want to first off thank you for Phil and for Doc for their willingness to lead this class. Thank you for giving Doc good health that he was able to come here tonight when he was absent last week. But Lord, we do just ask that you would give him an extra measure of your grace and strength and help him to trust you in faith, dear God, that in these next coming weeks it will be difficult with the memory of Leona passing and being with you. Help him to believe in faith that you will give him all the grace that he needs, that your grace is sufficient for him. Keep him faithful, dear God. We pray that you would help him as he continues to minister in sharing the wisdom that he has so graciously given to us. And thank you for his humility. And Lord, we pray that you would use all of the things we've learned for your honor and for your glory, and that you would be working in our lives and help us to take action to do this, even though it's not natural, but you want us to do it. We pray these things in your name. Amen.